The Holy Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter. Jesus said, "And just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but may have eternal life. Indeed, God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Those who believe in him are not condemned, but those who do not believe are condemned already because they have not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and people loved darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For all who do evil hate the light and do not come to the light, so that their deeds may not be exposed. But those who do what is true come to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that their deeds have been done in God." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Dear sisters and brothers, grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The text for today's sermon is one verse. And out of all the scripture we just heard read, you can probably guess which verse it is. John 3, 17. You're right. Yeah, we all know John 3, 16. But this morning I want to focus on what Jesus says immediately after that. God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world may be saved through him. Jesus did not come into the world to condemn the world. God's plan, God's desire, God's agenda is not to condemn us. It is to save us. Now, Jesus is quite plain about this. But it seems like a lot of the time we, the church, have not had that same kind of clarity. And I believe that has created a major roadblock, not only for our own spiritual growth, but also for the growth of our witness to the world. And that roadblock is what I'm calling, for the sake of today's sermon, the fear of judgment. Now, I debated, because I probably should have said something. I probably should have said the fear of condemnation. And there's a difference. Condemnation is not just judgment. Condemnation is when you declare an action, or more generally, a person, to be morally wrong and in need not just of correction, but punishment. Condemnation says what you have done, and there's got to be a finger pointing when you say it, what you have done is so bad that you have to pay a price. And we can talk about only condemning actions, but condemnation always implies not just what you did is bad, but you are bad. That's condemnation. Now, sometimes condemnation is deserved and necessary, like when a guilty criminal is condemned to a prison sentence. But condemnation does not lead to correction. It is not a way to get someone to change course. It is always destructive to the image of God in a person. But the truth is, we live in a world of condemnation. We are saturated with the message, you're not good enough. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. You don't belong. You don't count. And this destructive voice shrivels souls. It leads to anger and despair and an inability to love ourselves and to love others. Bullies in school condemn kids who are different or weak. Bosses or co-workers will condemn colleagues if it helps them get up the career ladder. Spouses can quietly condemn until they become ex-spouses, when the condemnation is no longer silent but broadcast for everyone to hear and likely read on Facebook. I recently read a comic writer online who wrote this: "I want you to know that I feel as if every one of my readers is like one of my own children, which means I am very deeply disappointed in every single one of you." It makes you laugh, right? Until it makes you cry, when we realize how many carry around the condemnation of not meeting expectations, realistic or not, of a father or a mother, feeling not worthy of their attention and love. Well, then we take all these voices, and what do? Oh, we're good at this. We internalize them. We condemn ourselves for the way we look, for the ways we've failed, for not measuring up to unrealistic standards we set for ourselves. And this condemnation is a roadblock to our flourishing as children of God. It keeps us from learning to trust and to receive love from our Heavenly Father. So this morning, I want to ask you, what voices of condemnation do you carry around? What voices of those bombard you? Now, I don't know what they are for each one of us, but you know what I do know about them? You know what I do know about those voices? They're wrong. They might be loud. They might be cruel. But they are lies. You are not condemned. You might be a mess. You might be lost. And you may very well be a total train wreck of sin. Maybe. But because of Jesus, you are not ever condemned. The only way we can ever fall into condemnation is to walk away from Christ's claim on us, and not because that makes God mad, but because when we refuse Jesus, when we don't take him at his word that he loves us, then what that means is we're turning our back on the only hope that can rescue us from constant accusation and condemnation and guilt and shame and all of that. So just because the world is always ready to condemn, don't think for an instant that God is. He sent his Son not to condemn you, but to save you and to save the world. And in fact, Jesus came to take the condemnation of the cross, a death that was reserved for blasphemers and traitors, to rescue you from the ugliness and the pain of being condemned. Because of the mercy of Jesus, you are not stuck in any dead end. Because of the new life that Jesus gives, you are never going to be without hope. And yes, we have all messed up. And yes, we will all continue to mess up. But Jesus came exactly for people like us. And for all those words from the outside and from within that condemn us, Jesus says no. Jesus looks at you and says, "You are mine. I choose you. I died and rose again for you. I forgive you, and I have rescued you from condemnation." That is why Jesus came. And whenever we lose sight of that, we put up roadblocks to spiritual growth. Now, you'll notice here I made this distinction between condemnation and judgment, and Jesus does the same thing, because he goes on in John 3, and God does pass judgment on the world. Now, what does that mean? He sees the ways that we destroy each other, the ways we hurt ourselves, the ways we damage even creation itself. He sees how we have mastered the art of turning away from him, even when we dress it up in the most righteous and religious of clothing. And God knows it's killing us. So he judges it. Not at all so he can condemn you, but so that once sin is judged, it can be forgiven in the name of Jesus, and then all condemnation can go straight out the window. See, our culture has confused judgment, which is aimed at correction and healing, with condemnation, which only kills. And so our world has a very hard time hearing the message that God can call us to a new, transformed, holy life without condemning us as we are now. But when Jesus was lifted up on that cross, he revealed first the ugly truth of human sin, that we not only reject God, but that given the chance, human beings would kill God and believe we were doing the right thing. But the beauty of it is, the good news of it is, that Jesus accepts it. He accepted all the hate, all the fear, all the sin, and in accepting it, he swallowed it up. It is forgiven. You are forgiven. You are not condemned. And so when shame or guilt or fear tries to hold you back in your spiritual growth, and that's all it ever does, shame and guilt and fear, they are not things that will help you get better in Christ. All they do is destroy and kill and hurt. And when they speak to you, look at Jesus. Look to Jesus lifted up on the cross and let his love draw your heart and your soul to him. Because in Jesus, our sin is judged and it is forgiven so that you will never be condemned. Trust in that good news. Believe it. Practice saying it to each other. And then share it with your neighbors too. Because they may not know it, but they're afraid that they're condemned too. And they need to hear the truth of God's love every bit as much as we do. You belong to Christ. And in him, nothing will ever condemn you. Amen.